Blog Talk Radio.
From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, it's 4 o'clock. Welcome to American Vernacular. My name is Sandra Booker, and I will be your host for the next 60 minutes as we discuss the political, economic, social, and cultural issues facing our nation.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, white geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into spring. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things. And then I don't feel so bad.
Celebrating the holiday season, you are listening to My Favorite Things. On American Vernacular on Blog Talk Radio, today is Wednesday, December 12, 2012, or as everyone has been so excited to say, 12-12-12. And the time now is 4:03 in the evening in a gray and cloudy Southern California. It's beautiful outside. I've got a little wine in the studio today, which is okay because I broadcast from a very, very special location. It's a Malbec, of course. And I got a little recreational happiness happening here, so that's always nice. And I've got you out there listening, and that's always, always the best part of my day when you tune in to check out what we're doing here. And as usual, we're here to hear what's on your mind. So if you've got something you want to say or share with us, you can reach us at 619-768-2924. And yes, we've been on hiatus for a little while. I actually needed to take a break after the presidential election. And after a lot of hard work people did to make sure that we were on the right side of history this time around. And I think we were. I think we were. I, as an American, I go to bed and I feel a lot safer at night because I feel like an adult is actually running the country, and that's good. That's good. We need to have more of that. But I needed to take a break because this campaign really highlighted some things about America that I think are very, very unfortunate about our country. It highlighted that rich men actually believe that they can buy democracy. That's frightening. It highlighted that in the face of facts, people will ignore the facts if that's inconsistent with the narrative that they choose to believe. It highlighted that the media will say what it is told to say, such as this race is a dead heat, such as Mitt Romney is going to win this presidential election, such as I, Mr. Romney, have changed my mind about the 47%. I was just wrong, and I don't need to tell you what that's based on. It was just wrong, and just trust me. This past election also did something that was remarkable. Something that was amazing. Something that made me so proud to be an American. This past election highlighted that America is choosing progress over fear. Do you know how wonderful that is, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? That is such a wonderful thing for us as Americans. I'm often puzzled by the fact that Americans seem to love to be frightened by everything. We're just a people that enjoys being scared. I don't know what that's about. I'll never know what that's about. Maybe I don't need to know what that's about. But far too often, decisions get made for all of us based on the fears that some of us have. It's rare that fear is actually based in something other than a paranoia. I want to be afraid, therefore I'm going to be afraid, and my fear justifies every decision I make, no matter how bad it is. But this time we decided it is more important for us to stand together as a nation rather than be divided by our fears. And when I started asking people on this very program, what are you so frightened of? What is going to happen to you under a second Obama administration that is going to be so detrimental to your life, to your future? Is it going to destroy your life that we're going to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Is it going to destroy your life that we pay women the same money that we pay men who do the same job with the same degree of excellence and commitment, personal sacrifice and dedication? Is it really going to destroy your life to see young people go to college and get an education? I've asked people to tell me, what are you so afraid of? That men and women who belong to unions will have the right to collectively bargain? That any person born in the United States of America would have the right to vote should they choose? I want somebody to come and explain to me how many people have had their guns taken away. Because I've heard this argument, they're going to take away our guns. But if we were the civil, democratic, socially, emotionally evolved people we profess to the world that we are, We wouldn't need every single person to be armed with a gun and to have legislation on the books in 27 states that say you can kill someone if you just think they're a menace to you, if you just feel afraid of them. What a very low threshold to be allowed to take someone's life. I've asked people to explain to me, my friends, my Republican friends, please explain to me what rights you are going to be denied because people of the same sex want to marry. How will this destroy the fabric of your marriage, of your family unit? How will it impose upon you a lifestyle that you don't want? I hear all the same arguments. Well, the Bible says, but if you're Jewish, then the Bible doesn't apply. Or if you're Muslim, the Bible doesn't apply. So that argument gets sort of washed away. Well, it's immoral. But then couldn't someone make the argument that spitting on the street is immoral because that has the potential to spread germs and disease? I'm proud that the nation chose the opportunity to have peace with our neighbors. We do not live on this planet alone, ladies and gentlemen. This is shared space. And we have to learn how to share this space. I want to personally applaud the great people of the states of Colorado and Washington State for saying, if I as an adult want to smoke marijuana, I will smoke marijuana. The same way I as an adult am responsible for my alcohol consumption and anything that results from that, including all the consequences that go along with drinking and driving, drinking and domestic abuse, drinking and health issues, because all of those things are ramifications of drinking, and we know this. I'm so happy that I, as a woman of color in the United States of America, can honestly someday say to any black child, Latino child, Asian child, mixed race child, Native American child, and yes, white child, because as somebody who also works in the field of education, I'm exposed to children of all backgrounds and religions. I can look all those children in the face and say with absolute certainty, there is nothing you cannot be if you choose to be that thing. I have great optimism for this country. I feel we're going in a direction where, despite the opposition, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but despite the opposition to marriage equality, to women's rights, to voting rights, to the very rich paying their fair share, to all of us coming together as a nation and saying police brutality is not acceptable, sexual predators in our schools and our religious institutions, it's not acceptable. Lobbyists who get laws put on the books that affect every single one of us every day to our detriment is no longer acceptable. Denying people who get up every day and work a job, sometimes two and three jobs. We can no longer treat our fellow Americans as people who don't have a right to have a voice, some input into what they are capable of doing. Now, some of you follow me on Facebook, and yes, I'm there. You can reach me at Sandra Booker on Facebook. And I took to Facebook a couple of years ago as a way to network and meet people and promote my personal singing career and my personal career goals. That's why I got on there. But in being on Facebook, I got exposed to the real America. And I guess I exposed myself to the real America. And based on what I heard and what I saw, the amount of misinformation out there and just how blindly people will believe it because a news agency said it, I started this program. I started the program along with a friend to try and get information to people based on the truth. Nothing more, nothing less. To give you information so that you can make an educated decision, an informed decision. So you have to understand my shock and disbelief when I kept hearing news organizations, and I'm not talking about Fox News, which I personally refer to as Fox Entertainment Network, but that's neither here nor there, or Fox Television. So you should really call it FET. Also go with Fox Exploitation Television, but you get my point. But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about CNN. I'm talking about MSNBC. I'm talking about the networks ABC, NBC, CBS. How could those organizations have intel that was in this good mind? Somebody who's produces a show. I'm a resident in California, in a suburb of Los Angeles. I was astounded. And it made me realize the importance of this. The importance of a program like this is to get you information. And people don't call in often and talk to me, and you know, that could be for a myriad of reasons. I'm not going to bite you. I'm not going to bite your head off. But my goal here is to get you to a place where you ask questions. And not only do you ask questions, but you demand answers. I want this program, and we've bounced around. Let me just toss this in here. We've been on at 10 a.m. We've been on the weekends. Now we're on at 4 p.m. This program has bounced around. So if you are still following us, we realize that is a labor of love on your part. To find out where we are and what we're doing. But we're here, I'm here, because I feel far too often the American people don't have a resource. They don't have somebody that's just going to tell them the truth. And that has to change. There's so much talk right now about the fiscal cliff. We're all about to go off of this fiscal cliff. But let's be honest, people. If it wasn't for George W. Bush, there would be no fiscal cliff. He put this in play. If you are earning $250,000 or more, do you realize that individual is taking home $20,000 per month? $20,000 per month for a period of 12 months. A family of four can't make it off of 20 grand per month. Even if you had two cars, a mortgage, insurance payments, your children's education, health care, food and entertainment. You can't get those things done on 20 grand a month. You've got people getting all of that done on 20 grand a year. I I think we can do better, people. I think it's time to say, you know what? We're not against wealthy people. It's great to be wealthy, obviously. But I think we need to reevaluate how people make money in this country. And who makes the money? And how that money gets used? And who benefits? And who should benefit? As I started saying when I first got on the air today, I had to take a break from this show. That's one of the reasons we've been bounced around so much, because sometimes you need to take a break. I was stunned that every state in the union has petitioned to secede from the United States. Where the fuck y'all going? Okay, I know that's strong language, but that's the question. Where in the fuck are y'all going? What roads are you going to use? What airspace are you going to use to get up out of here? Where are you really going? Back to Europe? I really don't think they fucking want you there. But what an insult. And that will go into the history books. Now, when I'm on Facebook, people get a little pissy with me and they say, Sandra, you know, you're a racist. You're a racist. What you said is racist. Having every state in the union petition to secede from the United States of America, knowing our history, that's racist. A Utah law professor, University of Texas law professor, recently remarked that blacks and Latinos are simply inferior when it comes to learning, and therefore that explains the reason that they don't do well in college. Really? I would suspect that having a professor who regarded you as terminally inferior would have more impact on you not doing well in college than your innate inability to do so. Well, if you make the argument that the Negro or that the Latinos are intellectually inferior, shouldn't you be required to produce some evidence to substantiate that argument? And if you want to make that argument, can't that argument be made in reverse? If America is in the shape that it's in, and we elected an African American because the country was such in bad shape in 2008, and every president up until 2008 had been a white man, at least openly, wouldn't that suggest that whites aren't as smart or as sharp as they would argue they are, at least certainly this professor?
Yeah.
Well, somebody took offense with saying that. That's racist, Sandra. How are you going to say that? The way I just said it. Doesn't mean it's right. Equally as insensitive and ridiculous. Wow, America, are we ever going to get it together? The phone is ringing. Let's see if we can get an answer.
Yeah.
You're listening to American Vernacular on Blog Talk Radio. You've been listening to the great Herbie Hancock performing I Thought It Was You, Old School Radio, just the way we like it here at American Vernacular. On Blog Talk Radio, the time now is 4:38. Hey, and I want to take a moment to tell you about some non-political stuff that I've been up to and some things that are upcoming. I want to thank everybody who came out and participated in the very first annual Sarah Vaughan International Jazz Vocal Competition. Congratulations to the winner, Ami Cyril from France, and the first runner-up, Miss Ashley Elizabeth Smith. And yours truly came in third place, or as second runner-up, as they say. So it was a lot of fun, a very interesting situation. Met some lovely people and just had a good time. So that was a lot of fun, and I want to thank everybody that voted for me on the Indaba website. And if you want to give the gift of music this year, let me please encourage you to go to cdbaby.com and pick up a copy of When Love Happens, the Loving Day Concert, which celebrates the legalization of interracial marriage in the United States, featuring yours truly, along with some great jazz musicians and world musicians, including Tamir Hindelman, Larry Coons, Esther Cadenas, Brian Swartz, Dale Fielder, John Lefwich, Robert Perkins, Thomas White, and the Elevation String Quartet. So that's a great project. It makes a great Christmas gift. Loving Day is July, is June 12th next year, so give the gift of music, and that's the gift that always keeps giving. And I want to take a moment to give a shout-out to the wonderful people at the Downtown Comedy Club, where I had the wonderful joy of going down there and being with them on November 30th and December 1st. We had a great time. This is a comedy club that was started by the great Garrett Morris, and we're hoping to have him on the show later after the first of the year or later this month. Maybe we'll call in and do a short interview with us. But he has been mentoring young comedians and old comedians and people who really want to get into the trade and have some hands-on experience. And they've got this wonderful club downtown on 5th and Spring Street called the Garrett Morris Downtown Comedy Club, and let me tell you, it is a great place to go and get your laugh on. They always feature the finest in blues and jazz musicians, and it's just a great, great time. So I want to encourage you to check it out. It's the Downtown Comedy Club. And I want to turn you on to a wonderful performer that's going to be doing his thing this Sunday in Toluca Lake at Lucy's 51 on Riverside Drive. His name is Jay Jackson. He's one of our favorite folks here at American Vernacular. So if you get a chance to go check him out from noon to 3 on Sunday, you will have a great time, I promise you. He definitely keeps the joint jumping. And it should be an ongoing series. Joel Scott and the wonderful Sherry Pruitt will be there the following weekend. So I'm hipping you to two really, really great weekends of music. And look for me come this January. I will be doing 2 dates at home in Beverly Hills, in beautiful Beverly Hills, California. One on January 3rd and the other on January 25th. I'll be posting more details on those performances on my website at www.sandrabrooker.com. And for more information about things that will be upcoming here on American Vernacular, please visit us at www.americanvernacular.org. Ta-da! So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for sticking with us here. We're going to get the show back on track. We've hit a couple of bumps in the road, and I apologize for that because I started this program as a forum to give you a place to be heard. And we've had some great guests on the show. I want to thank all the people that helped us get this up and running. And even though we've hit a few snags here and there, and I'm not ashamed to say that because sometimes that happens and that's part of life, we are committed to being here for you. To be a resource to you, to give you not only a place to voice your frustration, but your joy, to make us a better program, and to provide a service to the general public, the people at large, you, we, us, in keeping you aware of what's going on politically, economically, socially, and culturally in the world around us. It's an exciting time. I'm looking forward to the new year. I hope it's going to be filled with excitement and wonder and magic. I'm very, very enthusiastic that our better days are ahead of us. My wish for my country is to see less gun violence, even though it pains me to announce that now in the United States of America, that you have the right to carry a concealed weapon in every single state of the union. It just makes me wonder what kind of people are we? What kind of people are we that we are that afraid of each other? Can't you tell me how you feel? Can't we have a debate? Can't we have a disagreement without you turning to a weapon? A weapon? And maybe you're offended because what you really don't want to hear is the truth. See, nobody ever picks up a gun and shoots you when you're agreeing with them. It's when we disagree. It's when we say, I don't agree with you. I take a different view of that. That seems very uncivil, animal-like, savage, outrageous behavior. I'm so optimistic, though, hopeful. We have truly the best man for the job in the White House. Let's keep that going. I'm asking all of you out there listening right now to contact Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. His telephone number is 202-224-2541. House Speaker John Boehner, his number is 202-255-6205. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, his number is 202-255-2815. Call these people. Tell them that you do not support extending the Bush tax cuts for the rich. Nobody over $250,000. Because if you can't make it on $20,000 a fucking month, you should not be asking somebody who makes $20,000 a year to pay more. That's outrageous. That math does not add up. We can do better. I never thought I would live to see the day where in America being rich meant being cheap. that astounds me. Now, here's a bit of good news. The president's approval rating, according to the NBC Wall Street Journal poll, says he is at a 53% approval rating. Now, if you don't think some of the folks on the right are coming over to the left, you're crazy. I want to appeal to my Republican brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about the nuts. Because people who want to just be crazy, they're going to be crazy, and there's nothing you can do about crazy. But would you really be opposed to the president if your president had brought Osama bin Laden to justice? Really? Former governor of Florida, Christie. That's not who he is. Ooh, maybe a little too much wine on a Wednesday afternoon. The former governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, excuse me, not Chris Christie. And no, y'all all don't look alike. Went from being a Republican to being an independent and has now become a Democrat. Personally, I wish he had stayed an independent. I'm an independent. But he's become a Democrat. Because he says, I don't believe you should take away a person's right. To have a say in the company that they work for, to have collective bargaining rights. Wow. How long are we going to elect people that treat us this way? That hold us hostage? It's almost as if we're living in an American apartheid. The moment we start being afraid of each other, based on hocus pocus and nonsense, we might actually be able to get to the business of rebuilding this country, and this country needs to be rebuilt. Our roads and highways and bridges, they need to be rebuilt. We can't simply build football stadiums and baseball fields and golf courses. Because those venues, believe it or not, cater to a selected few. The roads are for everyone. We need to rebuild education in this country and make education something that doesn't evoke feelings of hostility and resentment. I was really struck when I heard Rick Santorum during the primary campaign say, President Obama wants everyone to go to college. What a snob. What a snob? Seriously, man? How could you not want every person to have access to an education? John Boehner is calling for a permanent extension of the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy. And yet they have been telling you and I they're fighting for the middle class. What middle class? A middle class that they've imagined. Well, let us see. Let us see what things will, let us see what will happen. I think we're going to avoid this fiscal cliff. I think we're going to be okay. Because I think President Obama has really things under more control than we appreciate. I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow. I'll be here at 4 p.m. Thanks for hanging with the show. Thanks for supporting me. Thanks for supporting American Vernacular. You can reach out to us anytime at thebookagroup@yahoo.com. Visit us online at www.americanvernacular.org. Hit me up on Facebook. And you can always find out what's going on musically with me at www.sandrabooker.com. To all you people off to get married today, I want to wish you congratulations on your nuptials. Love is a beautiful thing. And today we're going to close out the show with a performance of Pammy by Warren B. Myers, one of my favorite people ever. Have a great Thursday, Wednesday evening, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, take care of yourselves and each other.